This is a live look inside the U.S. Assured Club on the west side of Everbank Field today at 11 o'clock. Maurice Jones-Drew retires as a Jaguar. And welcome in, J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com. Senior writer John Osier will take you live up to the event and show the event right here on Jaguars.com today. We'll also hear from Brian Sexton. He'll join us for some perspective throughout his career with the Jaguars in terms of Maurice Jones-Drew as well. But, John, always a special day when you have one of the great players in team history finally call it a career first and finally get to do it as a Jaguar.
Awesome. Well, it is. And I'll say up front, Brian is sitting off to the side, probably has more perspective on the young Maurice Jones-Drew than I do. I covered Maurice in his last 3 years. And as we were sitting here talking, I kept thinking, what will define Maurice as, you know, as he goes on into history, so to speak? And I just keep thinking about a guy who, you know, to use an awful cliche, did it his way. There's probably not a reporter in this room that at some point Maurice Jones-Drew didn't have a grudge against because he had written something that bothered Maurice Jones-Drew. And there was always that chip on his shoulder about being drafted late, and he wore the 32. And, you know, all the reporters would probably tell you they knew the grudge wasn't going to last because it was just Maurice being Maurice. And that's a cliche, but in I think every Jaguars fan sort of has this image of him as this is a guy who was going to say what was on his mind, who was not necessarily going to be easy to love because he was going to say what was on his mind. But even with the holdout and all the things that were off the field with him on that front, you knew when you watched him and when you were around him and when you talked to him about football that that was first. And he was a professional football player. He was going to be prepared. He was going to give everything he had. And when I think of him, I'll remember a guy who, no matter what the situation was on the field, when he was out there, you knew he was giving his all, and you knew there was nowhere else he wanted to be. So a professional football player who I've got to think, when he stands up there today, will tell you he feels like he got everything out of every ounce of his ability. At the end of the day, I'm not sure what more you can ask of a player.
And, John, you had a different view than most in this room because you were in the division with another team, the Colts, for a lot of his career. He came back for the last few years, couple years of his career here in Jacksonville. But going through maybe a game week for a Colts-Jaguars game week up there, what was their view of Maurice?
Well, they knew they had to stop him, and they knew they had to stop him, and you had to keep on stopping him. I mean, there were, from their perspective, there was a couple of years where the battle was almost one-on-one with Bob Sanders, who was a very good safety, NFL Defensive Player of the Year at one point, against Maurice Jones-Drew. I believe this was when Maurice first became sort of the lead back and the guy. And, you know, there were battles where Bob would hit Maurice and where Maurice would hit Bob, and it was a collision. And that's the way Maurice played. He had speed and elusiveness at the beginning of his career. When he was the feature back, he ran with everything. He would run you over. He would use those thighs and get around you and get into you and go all the way. And again, I didn't see the first two or three years where there was the dynamic player who could go all the way on every play. I know the Colts saw it, and you always worried about it. What I saw at the end of his peak years, 2011, which is when he won the rushing title, again, when I think of him, I think of a guy who absolutely squeezed every yard out of every opportunity. And for that reason, he was always a tough opponent because you knew he was not going to quit. He was not going to be out of the game unless he had to be. And again, I don't know as a fan, as a writer who covers the league, what more you can ask out of a player than when you watch a guy. I covered Peyton Manning for years and years and years. You never doubted what the game meant to him. I would put Maurice in that same category. When you talk to him after a game, when you talk to him before a game, there was never any doubt that there was nowhere else he wanted to be. And every ounce of him in terms of preparation, in terms of effort, in terms of will, was going to go into what was going on. For that, that's a defining thing that I think a player can live with.
J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, live from the U.S. Assured Clubs at Everbank Field at 11 o'clock today, the Maurice Jones-Drew retirement press conference. We'll have it for you live right here. It's a very difficult thing to come succeed Fred Taylor, too. And that was a big part of the, obviously a huge part of this franchise for a long time. So when you draft a running back in the second round, you're going to be the next guy, right? And
well, they
it's tough to kind of to step into those shoes.
And they define the franchise. And again, Brian can talk more to what his defining moments were with this franchise. But I do know I was here for the defining Fred Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew moment when they ran for 375 against the Colts in December 2006. And there was nothing to do to keep him off the field. Though, or to keep them on the field because they were scoring and getting off the entire time. Those moments in a franchise's history resonate and keep going. And I know that Maurice Jones-Drew gave this fan base many, many of those moments that I wasn't here for. But again, when you talk about defining players of an era, he really, in a very real sense, bridged a gap back to Fred Taylor, back to those seasons when they were a very good football team here, 2005, 2006, 2007. Maurice was a big part of that. And for that reason, this is appropriate, and it's appropriate that he's remembered as one of the four, five, six players who really matter, who really stand out in this franchise's history.
John, a lot to get to today. We'll look forward to your writing coming up on Jaguars.com. Thanks for your thoughts today, too.
Appreciate Thanks, JP.
It. John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer, joining us. Of course, the draft coverage here on Jaguars.com begins Thursday. Join us Thursday from inside Everbank Field, from live coverage from the Jaguars draft party, 7 o'clock pre-show, and then live after every pick all 3 days. It's a marathon here on Jaguars.com, and it starts Thursday at 7 o'clock. And we welcome in senior correspondent Brian Sexton now. This is obviously a special day, and certainly for you, you saw him from the beginning to the end here in Jacksonville. What does he mean to this franchise? What does
well,
he mean?
I mean, 81 career touchdowns, first of all. He's your all-time touchdown leader. He came in at the tail end of Fred's career as a rookie in 2006 and really helped Fred to three more seasons. And in 2007, they averaged 156 yards rushing a game. And that was the last trip to the playoffs, and it was a 1-2 punch. It was so much fun to watch because you had Fred out there running by people, then you had Maurice running over people, and then Maurice would run by people, and then Fred would run over people. It was just it was a perfect 1-2 punch. So, I mean, you're talking about a guy that came in and extended the legend and then built his own.
He's a guy that was a second round pick. He had that, everybody talks about the chip on his shoulder all the time. How real was that?
Oh, really? Keep watching because I'll lead with that story at the top of the news conference. I've got a really good one for you. No, he played with it. He played with the Superman shirt underneath. He was a guy that was always told, you're not big enough. Let's be honest. If he was 6'1", he would have been one of the first 5 or 6 picks of that draft. Yeah. But because he was 5'7", everyone said, well, let's move him down a little bit. And he made him pay. 13 touchdowns as a rookie. 13. I mean, and he averaged over 100 yards a game against the best team in the division, Indianapolis. I mean, he had his big moments when this franchise needed it the most, and it was because he played with that attitude.
You had a chance to catch up with him earlier today. You'll see the piece on Jaguars.com coming up. But he hasn't been back in the stadium since he left,
no.
I guess, right? That was
no,
his first look.
We walked out on the field, and, of course, they had a nice tribute to him up on the boards. And, you know, the thing that caught his attention was the Xbox signs on the boards in the corners. And he said to me, and you'll see this, oh, you finally take care of the nerds. I said, wait, you relate to the nerds? He said, always have, always will. There's the chip on his shoulder again.
That's the way it is. That's for sure. And I'm not sure when that'll come up on Jaguars.com, but take a look, your conversation with him. We'll hear from Mojo after today as well. You're involved in this presentation today, but where does Maurice Bolt, is he going on the wall?
Oh, absolutely.
But I guess are there others going first?
Well, you know, I talked to him about this in the interview as well, and he mentioned Jimmy and Keenan, and you can make the case for that, but 81 career touchdowns.
Go
put him up right now. I mean, you're not going to, obviously, you're going to find a moment that fits best for him. But yeah, and there's a spot right over there by Fred's name on the wall, and you could put the whole Maurice Jones-Drew or Mojo or MJD. He may have to settle for three letters, let's be honest, because if you're going to put Keenan and Jimmy in at some point in the future, you're going to need to leave some room for them over there. But absolutely, he belongs on the wall. He's one of the most distinguished players in the history of the franchise. The one thing he doesn't have is playoff victories. He had just one. He only played in 2 playoff games, and that I would expect would be one of his regrets, that he didn't get the chance to play on that big stage more often, because we all know, Maurice saved his big moments for the big opportunities. But clearly, we're talking, you know, Jimmy Keenan, Fred Tony, Maurice Jones-Drew.
Brian, we'll look forward to your presentation on stage today and the interview coming up on Jaguars.com. Well done.
Look forward to it.
There he is, Brian Sexton, senior correspondent, Jaguars.com. Of course, Jaguars 3-packs are available. They're on sale now, including the best prices and locations at Everbank Field. Choose any 3 games this season and select from 5 different locations. Prices start at $99. Visit Jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000 for more information. We're live at the U.S. Assure Clubs on the west side of Everbank Field, and we were talking about the pride of the Jaguars, and here he is, Tony Boselli.
How are we doing, JP?
Hey, what's up, man?
No, not much. What's going on?
Oh, you know, a little press conference today for Maurice Jones-Drew is
That's great.
What
Maurice.
Yeah, what do you think of his career as a Jaguar? How does it stand?
No, it was outstanding. I mean, he was one of the great guys to ever play, wear a Jaguar uniform. Is the way he played the game. You know, everyone talks about the numbers and what he's able to do, touchdowns and yards and all that stuff. What impressed me about Maurice most is the way he approached the game, how hard he played, the professional that he was during some tough times. I don't think he always gave his best, never held anything back, and that's what always impressed me. I always said when he was doing it that he'd be a guy I'd love to play with because of his attitude and his approach to the game.
It's nobody's Fred Taylor, obviously, and it's a tough task to follow Fred Taylor, I'm sure.
Well, but he was his own guy, and he was from day one. And, you know, everyone wants to compare players. I mean, that's what we do.
Yeah.
And obviously Fred had an outstanding career, longer career, you know, was here at some of the best days that this franchise had as far as wins and losses. But Maurice, he stands on his own by himself. You know, he does not need to be compared to anyone else. He was a great player, a great back, and he represented himself in this franchise the right way on the field.
Tony Boselli is with us, of course, on Jaguars.com. We're approaching the 11 o'clock time frame when Maurice Jones-Drew will retire as a Jaguar. Well, we talked about this on radio last week on Jaguars Thursday on 1010 XL. Is he going on the wall, and is he the next guy up, and how is that going to work?
Well, I have no say in it, and so there's no reason.
You're the first guy.
Well,
Tony, send a memo.
Well, there's no memo to send or anything else. I don't make those decisions, but if he's up there, I'll be proud to have him up there with Fred, Mark, and I, and then obviously the Weavers. So he was a great player. Whether he's next or when or how that works, again, you know, that'll happen when it does, and the people that make those decisions will make them. But he would be a great representation. His career was outstanding. And, listen, he should hold his head up very high for the way he played the game. And it's a great day. I'm glad he's retiring as a Jaguar. You know, wasn't able to finish his career here, but that happened to me. I mean, it's the way it's a business, and it's the way it works sometimes. That's nothing against him or the organization. It is what it is, but the fact that he wanted to come back, retire as a Jaguar, that's how it should be.
And retiring on a day like this is important, too. It's a special day. This doesn't happen for all players in the NFL. This is a pretty cool day for him.
Well, give credit to, you know, Shad Khan, Mark Lamping, Dave Caldwell to make sure it could happen. Because it's not, I mean, listen, you have to have a roster spot. You have to create some different things and do some different maneuvering. And you do it when a guy like Maurice retires and who's important to this franchise. And it is a great day, and it's exciting. A lot of good turnout. A lot of the media is here, and all the staff is coming up to be a part of it. And I sure wasn't going to miss it. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see him.
Tony, we appreciate it, man. Good to see you.
Always my pleasure, JP.
Tony Boselli.
See you Thursday night.
Putting us on Jaguars.com. Jaguars Radio, of course, Jaguars Thursday. Tony, Jeff Lagerman, myself. That's every Thursday. From 6 to 7 on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. A few numbers for Maurice Jones-Drew, of course. 3-time Pro Bowl selection, 09, 10, and 11. The rushing champion in the 2011 season in the National Football League, 1,606 yards. Second-round pick in 2006 out of UCLA. A handful of years, of course, with Jacksonville, 06 through 13, and then 1 year with Oakland. 9 NFL seasons overall, over 8,100 rushing yards, over 4.4 yards per carry in his career, 68 rushing touchdowns, 81 total scores for number 32, Maurice Jones-Drew. He holds Jaguars records in 8 different categories, rushing yards in a season, rushing touchdowns in a career, rushing touchdowns in a season. He had 15 back in 2009. consecutive games with a touchdown. And, of course, in kickoff returns, too, early in his career, had the speed to burn in that role also. Kickoff returns in a career, kickoff return yardage and touchdowns as well. Let's go to the stage. We're moments away from the Maurice Jones-Drew press conference live on Jaguars.com.
Good morning, and welcome to Everbank Field for this retirement news conference for Maurice Jones-Drew. Someone asked me the other day my favorite Maurice Jones-Drew story, and one that exemplified him. And, Mo, I don't know whether you remember this or not, but it was the weekend after you were drafted. And we were over at Deerwood Country Club for the Jaguar Sponsorship Golf Tournament, and here comes Mercedes and Maurice side by side. I said, hey, here's the first round pick and the second round pick. And Maurice stepped right up and said, Maurice Jones-Drew, first round pick. I mean, that was the way that he played the game. Like, he was the first round pick that we all knew he very well could have been. And there are countless stories from people in this room and all over the National Football League about playing against Maurice. And the handout with the number of quotes from players all over the league who couldn't wait to share a thought with Maurice Dwight Freeney. MJD was one of the best running backs I ever faced. From Fred Taylor, from Arian Foster, it was an honor playing in Maurice Jones-Drew's era. And over and over and over. Whether you played with Maurice or whether you played against Maurice, by the time it was over, clearly you remembered the experience. So let's take a listen to some more players from around the National Football League with thoughts on Maurice Jones-Drew.
I tried to get the ball to him as much as possible because he was one of the biggest playmakers, you know, we had here. And it was a lot of fun. I used to tell the media all the time. I had the best seat in the house. I'd hand the ball off, watch him go. He'd take off 60, 70 yards and just make some unbelievable plays.
It was a pass play and his guy blitzed. He didn't pick up the blitz, but they threw the ball to him. He scattered down the, I think it was the right sideline, made a touchdown, and up his jersey and showed the Superman. I think it was the first touchdown ever in preseason. So he got fined, and he also got in trouble. But I think right there showed everybody that what he can really do and that he was going to be a good player in the league.
I don't think I could pick one memory. I think, you know, ever since I came into the league, just watching him, every time he's out there on the field, just making plays, I just became a big fan. He always did a thing where, you know, he ran the ball, and every time he turned a corner, he always did something with his hands, and then just bouncing off people, and just, you know, making long yards, making touchdowns, man. I think that's my best memory of him.
One of my favorite games of all time, I think we was playing New England here, here in Jacksonville, and it was the play was power. It was a power play, and I think what looked like the play might have been shut down. It was a 37 power. It was going to the left. I was on the backside of the play. The play seemed like it took forever. Then it just seemed like the play was over. Then out of nowhere, you bust out of the backfield, and you was just one of those backs that was hard to bring down. He was a very strong runner, very hard runner, very good player and fun to play with.
He was a problem. The type of guy that you hate going against, but you respect his game to the utmost. After his rookie year, I don't think he could have used the whole disrespect card because he brought his A game and he made guys pay.
The thing that Maurice brought to the game was intensity, whether it was his rehab, whether it was conditioning, getting over an injury. He was one of the best I've ever worked with, and I've worked with Hall of Famers, but Mojo was the best.
Maurice took a knee, or actually slid down on the 1 yard line, giving us the opportunity to kick the game-winning field goal when the Jets were trying to let him score because they wanted to get the ball back. And Maurice went down on purpose to run the clock all the way down so we had the last play to kick the field goal. And that selfless act right there shows you that that's the kind of player he was all about.
Maurice Jones-Drew, let me tell you, man, you are one of a kind. You are one of the all-time greats there in Jacksonville, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I wouldn't say that about anybody else. And you, sir, the way you went about your business and captured the hearts and minds of the folks down there in Jacksonville, it truly was something special. And I always loved interviewing you and always loved getting to know you and running into you in Rodeo Drive when you were spending a lot more money than I was.
Yo, what up, Mojo? You know who it is, man. Just want to say congratulations. Been a long time coming, not just from the NFL, but, you know, we were joined at the hip in college, man. I just want to let you know that if there's anybody that I wanted to be on that field with, it was you at all times. I appreciated all the energy, all the hard work that you put in. I love you like a brother. You know you always got me, and I got you.
Maurice Jones-Drew, MJD, Mojo, M-O-J-O. Human wrecking ball. Man, no matter what they call you, they can never call you a quitter. Hard fought career, buddy. It's great being a teammate. Great being a mentor. I love your passion when you attacked it. I love your sense of urgency as a player. I'm going to always love you as a person. I want you to enjoy this post-career life as much as you did picking up a blitzing linebacker and a safety. Man, I can only say, you know, it was great having you as a teammate, buddy. I love you. I love your family. Man, and whatever you want to do, sky's the limit.
Seven 100-yard games. And more crushing blocks than Sean Merriman will ever care to remember. I didn't see anything from him in the quote sheet, by the way, MJD. Yeah, see, that's it. He did everything. Catch the ball, run with the ball, and leave a memorable impression. More than once, you heard the cry, Maurice Jones-Drew, as it came out of the stand. So with that, how about a little perspective from our head coach? Please welcome Gus Bradley.
Well, they gave me a couple minutes, and it's hard to put the time that Mojo and I spent together, even though it was for a year, in a couple minutes. But it truly was a privilege to be associated with Mojo. You know, from the first day that I met him, I knew that we were going to have a great relationship. But it didn't take long for him to make his first impression, and it started out in our first team meeting. And, you know, I think I saw firsthand just the type of impact he would have on me, our coaching staff, and as our team. I think there's, you know, when I think of Mojo, there's two traits that really come to mind. First and foremost is his competitiveness. I mean, and it wasn't just on the field now. He competed at everything. How he prepared, how he led, the influence, his legacy, all those things is a tremendous trait. But I think, secondly, I think what we all rallied around was his infectious personality. He had the unique ability to bring people together from all walks of life. And, you know, everybody respected him. Everybody, you know, really relished the opportunity to play with him. So his teammates couldn't help but follow him. He left a bigger impression, I think, a bigger legacy in the city of Jacksonville. You know, he didn't need the mic. He didn't need the cameras. He did a lot of things on his own. And, you know, he truly wanted to help people get better. You'd see him many times at hospitals, charity events, helping kids. You know, an unbelievable true servant leader, as we talk about it within our program. And you could see it throughout. You know, I think on the field, he played the game the right way. As a matter of fact, I know he did. So many respectful thoughts that you saw earlier from so many players in the NFL, and I know the coaches felt the same way. But his determination, his toughness made him one of the guys that everybody remembers on the field. But he starts a new chapter today. I know just seeing his family again, they're all excited about it. And he's excited about it. And we've had multiple phone calls about what he wants to do and where he goes from here. But I think, you know, some people say that Mojo maybe wasn't the biggest. You know, I think that there comes no bigger than Mojo. And when I think of him, so it gives me great pleasure to take another look at another video and then finally get Mojo up here. But it is a true privilege. Thank you.
The 30, the 40, he's going! Are you kidding? 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! How did he escape? How did he escape? Hands the ball off, Jones is following the blockers. He's at the 15, the 10, breaks the tackle, he's on the run, 5, he's going to the end zone! Touchdown, Jacksonville! He's got Maurice. He's free at the 25, the 20, the 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Maurice Drew! And the Jaguars lead 20-7.
Jones Drew. Look at he's outspots them. I mean, you talk about a guy that gets it. On the field, off the field, Maurice Jones Drew. Here he's turning down a touchdown to keep the clock going, to keep the game. That is brilliant.
Here's the handoff to Maurice, looking for room, trying to go back to the right. He's got a hole. Here he's at 35. Oh, big hole! He's gone!
That right there gives him the franchise record, if I'm correct.
Were you ready? Before you get up here, though, Tim, come on, let's make it official. We can't let you talk until you sign the contract. And the last, I'm sure.
Oh, we already read it. Don't worry about it. Make sure everything is. It's
over. With great pleasure, here's Maurice Jones-Drew.
Something written, but it wouldn't be right if I didn't speak from the heart. First and foremost, I'd like to thank God for obviously putting us on this planet and giving me the ability to play this game. My mother, my father who's not here, my grandparents, grandmother, who instilled the competitiveness in me, you know, wouldn't let me be satisfied with scoring 2 and 3 touchdowns in Pop Warner if it wasn't 4 or 5. I couldn't come home. So those things definitely stuck with me. Obviously, my grandfather, who went to every game, every practice. You know, when you have someone like that in your life, it's hard for you not to go out there and play your best at all times. My wife, who, you know, has done a great job. I said I was going to cry, so I'm going to try not to. But playing at the level that you guys saw took a lot. Countless hours of practice, preparation, leaving my family for months on end, and to have a wife who was willing to accept that and be a mother by herself, be a single parent for most of the time, that was special. And I love you and I thank you, babe. the Jaguar organization for Shaq Harris, who took a chance on drafting me out of UCLA when no one would really. Thank you, because you gave me an opportunity. Jack Del Rio, who I had got the chance to talk to before I retired, which was awesome, kind of ended my career and started my career with the same person. That was nice. Kennedy Pola, who was my running back coach here, who did a great job. He's making me creative, you know, challenging me to be the best I could be at everything. To Eric Bieniemy, who was my running back coach in college, who wouldn't allow me to slack off. You know, a guy that talked to me crazy, but made me the best player that I could be in college. For my high school coach, Bob Lattiser and De La Salle, for challenging me as well to not be satisfied. You know, when you have so many people that force you to put you in a situation where you have to be your best at all times, it becomes natural. And so for those guys to do that at that time, it was great on the football side. On the business side, I obviously have to thank my agent. I know a lot of GMs don't like it, but he's definitely did a lot for me. First person to ever made me read the CBA, and if you guys ever want to read it, it's very boring, but it's something that was worthwhile. I know a lot of people gave him credit for the holdout, but it wasn't him. You know, it was because I read and I learned so much, and I was, you know, it was a business decision, and I think that was one of the biggest things that you guys all remember. Is, you know, we all do things, and it's just, I don't know, it was just something that I felt had to be done, and it's over, and I thank everyone for respecting that, respecting my I guess myself being of doing what I felt was right. It's crazy, you know, I don't know what to say. It's crazy. It's 9 years flew by. I miss playing with Scobie. I miss my son wearing Scobie's jersey. You know, I'm going to miss going out there, running the conditioning test, not being in shape. I'm going to miss those things because that's what football was all about. It was all about the hard times, the tough times. And, you know, I guess the next chapter will be hopefully broadcasting and doing those things and just trying to inspire people to see all you guys here and to see everyone here smiling. And, you know, that's kind of what I played this game for, is to inspire people. This game has done so much for me and my family, for where I came from to where I am now. It's done so much to go to London and play football and do all these things. A kid from Anna, I could never have thought about doing that. So I appreciate the game and you know, for what it's done, I can't wait to see my kids play it. I can't wait to see my son go out there this year and play and see the excitement that he shows. I guess lastly, we have this platform to use, and we always, football's done a great job of using it. And so I guess I can end it with this saying, with all the riots and things that are going on today, it wouldn't be right if I didn't speak on it. There's a lot of senseless violence going on. And, you know, I try to encourage people not to use violence in your own community, to try to uplift and build. But it's hard when there's nothing to have hope for, when it's hopelessness. In order for us to change as a society, and I'm a big believer in this, we have to start with our youth. And we have to continue to encourage our youth to do the best things that they can do, and challenge them to be the best that they can be. Give them every opportunity to do it. We can't continue to take away lives or take away opportunities from our youth. So with that being said, thank you guys all for coming and being here. And, you know, again, go Jags. That's good. No questions? Man.
Tell us a little bit about what your options might be in the future for TV and whether whether there's a high demand and whether you're going to have a lot of options to choose from.
Well, because this is such a small market, like I was being told so for so long, it was a kind of a high demand when I retired. It was nice to kind of be wanted. We talked to every from ESPN, Showtime, CBS, Fox, NFL Network. Did I forget anybody else? NBC. Kind of narrowed it down a little bit to the West Coast. So Fox and NFL Network are the two that we're looking at doing. Obviously, the deal with SiriusXM that I've had for the last 8 years, so I'll be doing radio with my man Mike Dempsey, F Baby, if he's out here, give you a shout out. But yeah, huh? Oh, he's still on the air? Well, there you go. He got a shout out on TV. But no, yeah, that's kind of it'll be a natural transition going there. Obviously, again, being here prepared me for life after football. I co-hosted the TV show here for 2 years, which was awesome. It gave me a lot of experience, and then doing the broadcast boot camp and then having my own radio show. So, you know, it's kind of helped me transition a little bit better than most.
I know you know this day was coming, but at what point did you really realize it was here? Was it last year, going through what you went through? And do you have any regrets about the way you treated your body during those 9 years?
I think after the foot injury, it was kind of like, all right, it's coming close to an end. I couldn't drop the weight like I used to. I think that was the biggest issue. I'm looking at my agent trying to think, it's about right, huh? I gained a lot of weight after I had the foot injury. And, you know, I just couldn't get in the shape that I wanted to perform at that level. So after that, that next offseason, I kind of left. And again, like I said, my wife did a great job. She stayed here in Jacksonville for 6 months, and I was out in California for 6 months training by myself. And I got in the best shape I could ever get into. You know, was never tired, was playing well throughout training camp. And then, you know, I broke my hand week one, and it's kind of like, all right, it was things that I was, you know, things are starting to hurt that normally don't hurt. And, started working out again this year. It got to about 215. It's like, okay, I'm getting it. And then it was like, I saw my kids and they started going to school, and I didn't want to miss that anymore. So it was kind of like, hey, you know, I've done enough. They've sacrificed enough. So it's time for me to do the same. And, that day I went to this Mexican restaurant. I took a deep breath first. The first thing I did, I took a deep breath, and that's Ernest Biner. I have to give him a shout out as well. Coach Biner, he told me when you're done, you're going to take a deep breath. So I did take a deep breath, and then I went to this Mexican restaurant because I had a weight problem for a while. So I had to eat certain food, which is the hardest thing to do, to have a cook and all that other stuff. But I had like 4 nachos plates and just sat there for a couple hours and enjoyed the nachos. You know, I could eat what I want now. So it is, so that, like, that's the beauty of this thing. You know, yeah, it's hard to leave the game, but there's little things like that, like taking my kids to school, watching them play football, things like that I wouldn't be able to do, eating nachos at 6 a.m. or whenever I want to. And those are things that I kind of enjoy now.
Any regrets the way you used your body for
9 years? No, not at all. I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change it for the world. Yeah, I know the whole thing about concussions and those things, football did something for me that I could never, you know, I could never imagine. Like I said, I would come out of town of 10,000 people. To say that I was able to go to London, to say I was able to play in the National Football League, play in college at UCLA, to do those things, you know, I feel like the game gave me so much. I gave it a little bit. I gave it a couple of little knee cartilage, a foot, a hand, you know. But it's nothing like this game, and to me, it sucks that people are trying to take away from it. You know, football teaches you so much: how to be a better person, how to fight through adversity, how to never quit. Those things that you can't get in regular life if you're sheltering from it. So, you know, I'm an advocate of kids playing at early age. You know, how old are you? 7? You about to turn 7, right? We about to play football, right? That's right. And we're gonna teach them the right way to play it. You know, don't use your head, hit with your shoulders. You know, make sure you tackle the right way. Make sure you run the right way. Those things. And I feel like if you teach them at a young age, the obviously the older they get, the more comfortable they'll be in those tough situations, and they'll be able to come up and be all right.
Looking back on your career, what would you say was the one shining moment in your memory? When you reflect back on it?
Oh, when they cut my eyebrows my rookie year. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know it was that bad, not having eyebrows. When I look back on it, I mean, that was a very humbling experience, you know. People looking at you all kind of ways because you don't have any eyebrows, and having to go on TV with no eyebrows is very humbling. And I think, to be honest with you, I mean, a lot of people are going, you want to talk about football. For me, the most memories that I have are playing golf with Scobie, beating him, or You know, my man over here, Jackson DeVille, giving him the work on the golf course. Just things that we did outside of football is what I enjoyed most. Playing with other, you know, our kids playing together, myself, Greg Jones, and our kids going to school together. Those are the things that I enjoyed more than anything. The relationship that were created just from this organization, the relationship created from this game, obviously, with the other guys. I like to thank all those guys for saying those nice things. Half of them were lies because I don't have an era of football. I mean, I was just blessed and lucky enough to get 9 good years in, you know, and it is what it is. But, you know, those are the things I think that we all take for granted are the relationship that we, you know, even though Vito writes these horrible articles still and I read them, and it just, you know, I feel like my days are just wasted away reading articles about the Jaguars. We have a relationship and it's great, you know, with everyone. Everyone here I have a relationship with some way or another. And I think that's, to me, what's most important.
Talk about why you left Jacksonville.
You know, coming from Oakland, being a Raiders fan, that was something I told my mom. There were certain things that I wanted to do, and it's going to sound weird, but I wanted to get, 3 contracts in 8 years. That was, like, one of the goals or something crazy like that. And I wanted to play in front of my family. I have family members back home that I couldn't make the trip out here, either because of sick or money reasons or whatever it may have been. And to be able to go home and play in front of them for a year or two was the end result. To have my kids be able to go to see the high school that I played at, play football, just for them to be around their cousins and aunts and uncles and grandparents, great-grandparents. Those are the things that I wanted at the end. Like I it was coming to an end, and, you know, it was coming quicker than obviously we all wanted to. But, you know, I was kind of at the end, I wanted to make sure that I did something for them and not just be selfish and do everything for me, so.
Maurice, you were on the cusp of 2,000 career carries when it came to a close. And most running backs, not all, there are exceptions, that's usually about the point where the decline starts. How much longer do you think you could have played at a high level without the foot injury?
Man, I thought I, to be honest with you, I actually played a month ago, played flag football, which is pretty awesome, against some high school kids, and I was tearing them up. And then I almost called my agent like, hey, man, I think I still got it, you know. Let's make a couple phone calls. But, you know, I still feel like I could play at a high level. I don't know if there's a year that you can gauge or anything like that. You know, again, I guess my mind is a little bit stronger. It's not as strong as my body is because my body's telling me I can still play. But my mind is kind of like, you know, at the end of the day, you want to get out of this thing healthy. I want to be able to run around with these crazies over here. If you guys ever see them, all they do is run and jump and want to tackle and everything. I want to be able to do those things and be able to play basketball with my son and be able to play, you know, tetherball or whatever it is that these kids are doing nowadays. I felt like I probably could have played. I probably would have played the same amount of years. I don't think it would have changed. I think I would have still played at a high level. I thought I was playing at a high level last year early on before I broke my hand. Just things happen. And like I said, it was just time. You know, when you start dislocating fingers and stuff like that starts to happen, it's like I don't want to deal with it anymore.
Maurice, does any one thing early on in your career that maybe a veteran or a coach said to you today still stand out?
Oh, yeah. I think Kennedy Pola said it best in one of his running back meetings. Whatever we do, we're going to be the best at it. And it goes a little bit against what Coach Gus talks about, but he's exactly right. You got to compete to be the best at everything. And that's kind of how we live our life. I mean, every day I wake up in the morning, and you guys are going to laugh, but me and my wife, we were talking about with a couple of friends of the family, and we were talking about competing. And so my wife went up and looked up the dictionary of what compete is. And every morning it's on the board, and my kids read it before they go to school because that's how you should live your life. You should always want to be the best at everything. Be your best and be the best at whatever it may be. And so, you know, for me, it was like if we were playing hopscotch, I'm going to do it better than you. If we were spitting, I'm going to spit farther. Whatever it could be, I wanted to be the best at it. And if I couldn't, I was going to work to do it. And so, you know, I did the best I could in football, and now it's time to move on to be the best dad and the best husband and the best writer now. the best rider, and you know, and compete at other things in life. At the end of the day, competing will never change. I don't think that that spirit, that competitive spirit, will never leave me. I just have to compete at different things now.
You're never going to outright me.
I am.
Nope. So many memories, so many video highlights. Anything stand out for you that maybe is a defining moment in your career, or something you take with you into retirement? Is that kind of,
like, you know, football wise?
Yeah.
Man, there's a ton of things. Obviously, winning the rushing title that year. You know, that it was a tough year with a rookie quarterback and all those things going on. But to for those guys, and I know he gets a lot. I know Blaine gets a ton of criticism, but for him to play what he played through, those are the things that I'll never forget. I mean, the man's foot was broken, and all he wanted to do was turn around and hand the ball off. And I was like, hey, I could do that. You know, I could deal with that. Or my offensive line, the guys that are out there, like Uche and Eugene Monroe and Vinny Manawai and Tony Pasos and Brad Meester, all these guys fighting through injuries when we really had nothing to play for. I mean, let's be honest. We won like 3 or 4 games at the end of the year. But to them, those guys wanted to see me do well. And so those are the things that I'll never forget, how selfless these guys are here, the players are. And, you know, they kind of wanted to put me up on the forefront. And I remember, quick story, I remember we were at the NFL Honors, and I was pissed off that I didn't win the MVP. But it wasn't for me. It was for these other guys that were selfless enough to play through those injuries and play through those things. And I mean, I know Uche's knee was messed up, and he was still fighting every day to get out there and play and to practice, and so we can get things right, so we can win something. And I wasn't mad because I didn't win it. I was mad because I didn't win it for these guys, for them to have something to hold their hat on. And so, you know, as I said, things like that. And every year was different. I mean, playing with Greg Jones, you know, as many scuffles as we got into because of me. You know, it was, you know, I'm talking trash to somebody, and somebody jumps on me, and then here comes Greg knocking the whole pile over. I mean, those are the things that you don't forget, because, like I said, those guys, it wasn't about them. It was just about us as a family, and that's what kind of atmosphere we brought here.
Is there one play you think you'll be telling your grandkids about in 50 years, saying, you should have seen this one play I made in my career?
Is there one?
Or two.
Two? I would definitely got to put the Sean Merriman block in there. You got to put that in there. I guess the playoffs, just, you know, going to Pittsburgh, winning in Pittsburgh twice, that whole atmosphere, I think. My mom was there. You made it. I think my grandma was there, right? I mean, going to Pittsburgh twice, winning up there, it wasn't really one play, but to win in Pittsburgh twice and that never to be done since then, that's an amazing feat. And it was a lot to the coaches that put in the game plan, obviously the players, that we believed in it, and we went out there and executed it. You know, Rasheen, I think that's the game Rasheen had 2 or 3 picks, right? I mean, guys were playing at such a high level at that point. It was like, when you get in that zone. But it wasn't just one person, it was a team that was in the zone. And so, that's the one moment, going out there, scoring touchdowns and running around and getting picks and celebrating with these guys. Those are things that, I'll tell my kids about, or grandkids, or whatever. Vito. He doesn't want it, man.
I'm ready.
All right.
Have you gotten over being passed up by 32 teams, or
never, never will I let that down.
what was that? Do you still remember that day? What you were thinking?
That day I'll never leave. That was like probably one of the worst days of my life until I got that call. I think, and it's funny because I always keep looking at my agent, but he was there for all this stuff. I don't know, man. It was crazy. Like, it was guys getting taken over me. We started wrestling in the room, actually. I was so frustrated. I put him in a guillotine chokehold halfway through the first round. He started getting choked out. It was, you know what? Again, everything happens for a reason. I think falling to the second round, coming here, learning under Fred, being with Coach Darrell, who gave me an opportunity, who believed in me, and Shaq and those guys who gave me the chance to fail and not hold it against me. That was why I fell to Jacksonville. You know, I could imagine if I went to another team and I had to start right away, and if I didn't play well, they kind of would have washed their hands with me. So, everything happens for a reason, but you always have, and I don't want to, it's not an external motivator, but it's always something that keep me hungry every day I wake up, you know. I could tell my kids about it. Like, if you don't be the best, man, you might go number 60 instead of going number one. Or you might not go at all. And so, that day always stick with me. It always will, because it was so impactful. You know, I was riding high around that time. I thought I was going to go top 10. I felt like it. I thought I should have went number one, to be honest with you. But, you know, it was humbling, and it was very impactful on my career. And it, granted, you know, everyone knows why I wore 32, and it was something that it gives people hope. You know, even though negative things happen in your life, if you can overcome them by positivity and just putting your nose down and grinding, I mean, everything else will work out on its own.
You said things worked out well coming here. Are there any regrets at all that you don't wind up playing on more winning teams?
No, not at all. I think kids now, like I coach these kids, and everyone wants to go to these teams that are winning national titles or in the playoffs. And to me, that's not a legacy you want to leave. I guess there is one thing I do regret is never winning a championship here, but I wouldn't trade my career for anything, because we fought through some stuff that a lot of teams will never go through, from injuries to coaching changes. I mean, this place has changed a ton since I've been here, the city in general, from the organization. But my thing is, your legacy is going to be stronger if you take a team from nothing to something. And I try to preach that to everyone that I can come in contact with. Don't just jump on the bandwagon and try to ride it off. Go a different path. You know, don't take the easy route. Go a different path and do what makes you happy. And for me, playing ball in Jacksonville was probably some of the happiest moments of my life. My kids being born here were some of the happiest moments of my life. You know, getting engaged on Jack's Beach. You know, who can say they did that? Not many people. Those are the things, like meeting my family members, having my family come out here and enjoy this time with me. Those are the things that people, you know, people don't know about. So anything I would regret is not winning a championship here. But we did everything we could to do it, and it didn't happen. But it will soon.
Did you go down to one knee on the beach?
I did go down to one knee. Then I went down on one knee, right? I should have did it like a real player would. I just said, "Ask like, look, we've been together 10 years. You trying to get married or what?" But I was like, she deserves better. So I did the whole one knee thing.
Oh yeah. There you have it, the comments from Maurice Jones-Drew in front of a nice audience at the U.S. Assured Clubs at Everbank Field. The photographs happening now. Maurice will join us shortly for some comments after the ceremony today. Again, some of the numbers, three-time Pro Bowler, 9, 10, and 11, rushing champion in 2011, of course. Second-round pick from UCLA, and he won't let anybody forget that. With the 32 on the jersey, 9 NFL seasons, over 8,100 rushing yards, 68 rushing touchdowns, 81 touchdowns overall. The photographs in front of the jersey happening now with Maurice and his family. They were all in the front row today. A lot of folks from the front office came upstairs as well to watch the press conference. Maurice and his agent now. A lot of looks over towards the agent today, too, by the way. Not only from the first-round perspective, but towards the end of his career, too. We'll hear from Maurice here in just a moment. The nice scene today. This doesn't happen a lot. A lot of players don't get the chance to do this a lot of times. And as you heard Tony Buscelli say, you know, a lot of players don't get a chance to come back to their old team. And a lot of players do leave an original team to go elsewhere. So to be able to come back to a team where he spent 8 of his 9 years and retire, sign a one-day deal, to do that is very special. And you got to see it live right here on Jaguars.com. They actually signed the papers on stage today, too. Tim Walsh came up and had the actual contract in his hand. So Maurice signed that one-day deal. and retired officially as a Jaguar. Maurice Jones-Drew is with us. Join us, please, on set. You got company with you.
I got everything.
Grab a microphone. I know you're going to be a broadcaster, so you need to know how to use that. How are you, man? Good to see you.
How are you?
Congratulations to you. What do you feel like? How this is? It's all over now.
It's been a long time coming. I think I was like, I'm not going to cry, but when you start thinking about all the memories, and I get a little choked up because it means a lot. You know, you put so much time into playing at such a high level, and the blood, sweat, and tears you put in throughout the off season, and enjoying all that pain. When it all comes to an end, it's tough. And to see as many people come and that I have created relationships with, it was amazing, to have some of the charities that I've worked with here, obviously Wilson Children's Hospital and all these different places. It was just amazing to see everyone back.
You were there this morning at Wilson. That's a special relationship, too.
Oh, no, definitely, yeah. Well, it's special because they saved two of my kids, so it's very special. My daughter, when she was first born, she was a preemie, and I could fit her in the palm of my hand, and we had to stay in the NICU for 2 weeks, and then my oldest son here, Deuce, had staph and MRSA in his eye, and so they saved him. And so when you deal with stuff like that, it's, you definitely create a bond. And, like I said, I would give him everything if I could, because that place works miracles and they saved a lot of people, and, it's something they affected our family.
You're a big Twitter guy, right?
Twitter. I just got on Instagram and Facebook. Okay. So we're working our way. We're working around.
We're going to take some questions from social media now at the Tsunami asking, what was your most memorable moment in a Jaguars uniform?
Besides beating Pittsburgh twice, I really think going to the playoffs that year in 2007, having such a great team and going to the division round, having the opportunity to beat the Patriots at the time, who were undefeated. That year just in general was a great year. I mean, we overcame so much from injuries to, a ton of things, just, getting back and getting on the right page. And those things is what you really worry about.
We'll move along now. At Jaguars Fan 99, who is the funniest guy in the locker room? You spent a lot of years in Jacksonville. A lot of different guys rolled through. Who stands out? Besides yourself, obviously.
Oh, no, I wasn't a funny guy. Let me think. I'd have to say Paul Spicer. Paul Spicer, Marcellus Wiley, those two, that combination was hilarious.
Why were they so funny?
Marcellus, he wanted to be called that dude. So, and he always had his DJ equipment with him at all times. And Paul Spicer just told the truth about everybody. He was just a funny guy.
We'll finish with this. At Fluffy 1030 asking, we're talking about running backs this year. Gurley and Gordon are widely regarded as the top running backs. Who's the third best back, and how do you rank those guys?
I would say Tevin Coleman out of Indiana. I think he has the elite speed. He has the vision. He runs the ball well. How do you rate him? It's hard to rate college players now because the system's so different. Yeah. But for me, you'd have to look at their offensive line. You have to look at how the guys behind them produce. You have to look at their ability to make people miss in the open field. How do they create? Can they create? There's so many different things you can look for. But I still feel like those three are the three that are probably going the first round, maybe one more who has the ability to do that. And I know there'll be probably eight taken in the top two rounds. So with the devaluation of running backs, that won't be happening anymore.
I was about to say, you hated that idea before, right?
Just because they don't want to pay us. That's all it is.
That's all. I know you're looking forward to hanging out with this crew a little bit more, right?
You want to say hello? Say hi.
What's your name?
Hi. Madden.
Oh, nice to meet you. Yes.
Your name's Madden? Don't be all shy now.
Oh, now all of a sudden.
Yeah, all of a sudden. What's your name?
Alea.
Oh, very nice.
You're so pretty. Look at you.
Very nice. This is what you missed a lot of, though, right?
Yes, I missed all this. So I get a chance to come back and spend time and do everything that I want to do.
You said NFL Network and Fox is down too. What's the next step on that?
Just getting the deal done here after the draft, and then working with SiriusXM and just getting just trying to keep the knowledge going. There's so many people in this game that don't have the knowledge, and they talk about it like my man's. But just get a chance to just kind of tell it from a player's perspective. And like I said, being fresh out of the locker room is fun because I still know a lot of people in there. And
you know, hopefully some of these guys here can give me some tidbits on what the Jags are doing, and I'll be able to help my career out a little further.
Maurice, I know you're taking over the Twitter handle today at 1 o'clock. We'll look forward to that, too.
Oh, it'll be exciting. Can't wait.
Congratulations
Thank
to you.
Thank you.
Maurice Jones-Drew joining us on set. He has just retired as a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Join us for the Jaguars draft party here at Everbank Field. That's coming up Thursday night. You must register for a free ticket, jaguars.com/draft party. 6 to 10 p.m. Thursday night inside Everbank Field. Watch the draft on the big board. Jags 365 members get in starting at 5 o'clock. For now, that will do it for our coverage from Everbank Field today. Maurice Jones-Drew signs a one-day contract to retire as a Jaguar. Thanks to John Osier, Brian Sexton, Tony Baselli, who joined us beforehand. Of course, Maurice and his entire family joining us on set after. For everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. We'll leave you now with some of the highlights from the career of Maurice Jones-Drew in Jacksonville.
Are you kidding? 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. How did he escape? How did he escape? Hands the ball off. Jones through following his blockers. He's at the 15, the 10. Breaks the tackle. He's on the run. 5. He's going to the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. There's the snap. Pressure coming. David turns and throws. He's got Maurice. He's free at the 25, the 20, the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Maurice Drew, and the Jaguars lead 20-7.
Jones Drew, look at he's outspoxed them. I mean, you talk about a guy that gets it on the field, off the field. Maurice Jones Drew, here he's turning down a touchdown to keep the clock going, to keep the game. That is brilliant.
Here's the handoff to Maurice, looking for room, tries to go back to the right. He's got a hole. Here he's at 35. Oh, big hole, he's gone.
That right there gives him the franchise record, if I'm correct.